Howdy there, friends and neighbors. Welcome once again to another action-packed, side-splitting, laugh-a-minute episode of the Side Project Freecast. From Morris, Illinois, I am Jim Goebel, and do we still have somebody down there in Indianapolis, and who is it?
This is Lex Zorn.
And how are you doing?
Oh, doing good. Great to be back here. You know, I had a fun time the last couple of months during our hiatus, but, you know, I missed the show, and it's great to be back after all this time.
Yeah, you need the thing with it is we really needed to get a break, to have some time and rewind, because you need, you know, a little time to recharge. That's why you get, like, you know, however much, you know, many days off of work for vacation, because you need to let the old, you know, gray matter rest and recreate and relax and marinate and whatever for a little while. But we're going to be doing some new stuff with the show. I don't know if any of you are noticing this, but we are now broadcasting live.
Yes.
Ustream.tv, and the actual URL, of course, you're already listening, so it doesn't mean, so if you're already listening, you know where to find it, but it's at ustream.tv/channel/TSP Freecast, and that's, we're gonna try it this out for a while, see how this works. So far it's pretty good, but this is our first episode doing it live. And you're going to get to hear all of the fun, wacky stuff that happens when we're, you know, that we edit out during the recording, like all of the that I use all the time. And we're going to be introducing a few new other features here, like, for example, and we're going to do this tonight, gosh darn it, and we're going to have a new feature where we have a third co-host coming in. And we decided to start with one of our favorite guests. Of course, they've all been our favorite guests, but you know, he's still one of our favorite guests. We have Will Coley from, I believe it's Knoxville, Tennessee, or just around that area.
Yeah, I live in Maryville. It's like right between Gatlinburg and Knoxville.
Oh, it's a great area.
I know the area well. In fact, we were going to try to take the kids on vacation down to the Smokies this coming summer, but unfortunately, because we live with the mother-in-law, we can't do that. So there you go.
But if you ever come down, you always have a standing invitation. And I grew up here, so I make some of the best home-cooked Southern-style food you'll ever have.
Oh, cool.
And that's not something you hear from a Muslim every day.
No.
that's I think one of those sentences that you never hear. So,
and you know, so, Will, I work at a Cracker Barrel, so I'm around, you know, Southern cooking all the time. So, you know, no, I feel right at home.
I used to work at a Cracker Barrel. When Ocala's Cracker Barrel was like the top Cracker Barrel in the country for sales. I was working there.
Oh, cool.
There you go. Yep. And I'd like to say I work around food, but I work for Walgreens. So you know, I'm. And I'd like to say I'm around drugs, but I'm not. I'm more around their computers. So there you go. But it's good to have you back, Will. Muslims for Liberty, and it's a great organization. I would like, you know, any of our listeners out there to go ahead and give them a little bit of a look-see over there on Facebook. And also, if you are listening to us live, go ahead and go over to our Facebook page at the Side Project Freecast on Facebook. And if you have any messages or questions or anything you want to ask us, just hit us up in the chat window.
You know, and I'd like to make a little plug, you know, in addition to what you just said, Jim.
Yeah.
I think that Muslims for Liberty, as well as the group Black Libertarians, make, you know, those two organizations make some of the best pro-libertarian arguments I've ever heard. So I recommend both of them to anybody interested in learning about our ideology.
Oh, well, thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome.
I have to make sure that I credit Davi Barker, one of the guys. He writes for us and does a lot of our content at Muslims for Liberty. I would have to say that he is one of the most brilliant writers in our political thought of our time. I've seen some of the best stuff come out of him, and another Muslim guy that most people don't really realize, Adam Kokesh, is another like hardcore freedom fighter of our time that is just, you know, you have to look at these guys and think, wow, you know, just they get out there, they get things done, they have a lot to say, and people really listen to what they have to say because they put it in such a way that you really can't help but listen.
You know, I actually had a run in with Adam Kokesh. I left a message on its Facebook page about a guest he had, and he came back and just kind of tore into me. So I'm not a huge fan of Adam Kokesh, at least at this point. But I'm sure he says some. I'm sure he's got. There's some good there. But when you have a run in with somebody, you know how it goes.
Yeah.
But at least when it comes to Liberty, his heart's in the right place. I'll just leave it at that for right now.
Okay.
Getting back to the topic, we took some time off. Like I said, we needed to refresh, relax, and whatnot. And as many people know, when we started this podcast, I was a addict of the computer game World of Warcraft, playing it constantly, lived, breathed, died by it. And then in 2010, they came out with an expansion pack called Cataclysm, and I was playing it. And all of a sudden, I just kind of fell off the bandwagon, like thinking, this is freaking boring. Well, I am happy to say that I've got a brand new computer game addiction. It's called Minecraft. So I've been wasting the last couple of weeks, hours upon hours, digging through block-shaped hills that resemble Legos, looking for gems and fending off zombies and little creatures called creepers, which explode if you get too close to them. And I'm just having so much fun wasting my time. I am addicted once again. Rest assured, I'll probably be addicted to this for a while before I get bored of this one as well. As I take a little sip of iced tea. So decaf iced tea, by the way. I don't drink caffeine, just out of personal choice. But how was your time during the hiatus, Lek? Who am I kidding? People who've listened to the podcast know what your real name is. But I'm going to keep calling you Lek.
You can, if you don't know, you just look at my IMDb profile and see it there. So you don't have to hide it too much. But it was good. I mean, the thing is, the film scene here really takes a hiatus during the month of December. So I didn't really do much in that area except for just, worked on some screenplays and stuff. Other than that, just spent a lot of time with the kids and didn't go anywhere, for the holidays. Just stayed in town and enjoyed myself and, tried to, promote Ron Paul's presidential campaign to as many people as I could. But other than that, just, really relaxed and enjoyed life.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we got the Super Bowl, festival going on in town, here in Indianapolis. And so that's something that's, been really, really all consuming. I've never lived in the same town as the Super Bowl before. So that's been an interesting experience.
And Peyton is not going to be going to the Super Bowl. I mean, I'm glad his brother's going, but being...
Oh, yeah, he is from your area, that's right. Yeah,
yeah. Being a Tennessee fan, I've followed Peyton's career ever since he was in college, and you hear a lot of people say that he's overrated, but he got hurt and he's not played, and well, we see what Indianapolis record is.
Oh, yeah, he's not overrated, not in the least. I mean, if anything, he was underrated. I mean, because I really thought we would be 8-8 or so without him, I really underestimated his impact on the team, and it'll be interesting to see what happens to his career now from here. But I wish him nothing but the best, and I think he could run for governor and win.
He's a hell of a fighter. I remember when he was in his last year in college, I watched him play and only lose by 3 points to Nebraska. I think it was 3 points. That was a long time ago. But he had a blown out knee and a broken, he got his nose broken during the course of the game. And had a blown out knee when the game started because he had torn his knee up in the conference championship, and they still started him with a knee swollen three times its normal size.
Wow.
And broken nose. And you see the guy with his helmet tipped up on his forehead with this huge gash across the middle of his nose, spitting blood clots on the sidelines, waiting on his chance to get back on the field.
Yeah, he's you know,
can't replace a leader like that.
Yeah, he can. And I mean, you know, he'll play so, whether here or somewhere else, he'll play if you know, if he can walk. I mean, you know, he really wants to do it, and so, you know, I'm just really thankful that we've had 13 years of him, and if you know, we get more than that's great. But you know, he won us. Yeah, he won one championship, and he could have won three or four, you know. So there's just so a lot of people who criticize him for only winning one Super Bowl, they don't really understand all the variables, you know, all the different factors that go into determining, you know, who wins championships. I mean, you know, and so it's really unfair to belittle him just for, you know, simply on the basis that he only has one Super Bowl, because you know he could easily have three or four or even five. It just, you know,
Marino,
the cards didn't always, you know.
Didn't Marino? He didn't even win the Super Bowl he went to, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. I mean, yeah. He and that's why, you know, I emphasize you got to win them when you have the chance, because he made the Super Bowl his second year. He played 15 more years, never got back to it.
You know, I wonder if our listeners have even realized that I haven't said a word over the last 5 minutes because I don't like football.
We're sorry, Jim. My wife has decided, like, that we have to come to Indiana so that she can try to eat a few Big Uglies.
Well, that'd be great. You know, it'd be great to see you all. You know, you all certainly welcome anytime. You know, Will, you and your family, and of course Jim, you know, he and his family have been here a couple of times over the last few years. And
I've got a lot.
Skyline Chili. Didn't we? We recorded an episode at Skyline Chili. In fact, we met at the first time me and Luck met was at a Skyline Chili.
Yeah, the first two times.
Well, I'm saying the first time was well before the podcast. That was a few
years.
That
was in 06. Yeah.
Wow, it was that long ago.
Yeah.
So there you go. And then we met up like 2 summers ago now. Wow. And that's when we did the podcast in
the other Skyline Chili, the northwest side.
Mm-hmm. Because we were on the way home from vacation down at Mammoth Cave, and we've already talked about how, you know, about the national parks and all that, and, you know, addressing the fact that I'm not a hypocrite because I go to these things, because, you know, we've talked about it a bit before, but let's just say if you want to go to Mammoth Cave or the Grand Canyon or whatnot, the government owns them, and there's only one, so you're pretty much forced to go there if you want to see them. So we'll leave it at that.
Ours is the only one that's free. Come to East Tennessee and enjoy the Great Smoky Mountains.
Yeah, I haven't been to the Smoky Mountains since I was a kid. I remember, Will, I did go to the World's Fair when it was in Knoxville 30 years ago. That was a lot of fun.
30 years ago?
Yeah, I was 82.
Already?
Yeah.
Holy cow, I'm getting old.
Yeah, I was 11 at the time.
30 years ago. Now, come on. I just turned 30, and I was already alive when it happened. I just don't remember it.
Yeah, it was. I had a great time there. I remember.
No, what's funny is I've still got my guidebook from the 1982 World's Fair, and on the very, very last page, there's a full-page advertisement for Jim and Tammy Baker's Heritage USA. I want to scan that thing in and put it up on my Facebook page.
We still have the Sun Sphere. They've not torn that thing down yet.
Oh, great.
I was just researching that, and apparently this year they're opening it to actually you can go back up it again. I believe it's going to be free to go up it.
I don't know if it's free, but I know they're opening it back up.
I thought I had heard for free, but I definitely want to get the kids down there, because I remember when we went down there and back in the day.
We'll kill some pheasants or some rabbit or something, and we'll smoke some meat and make some biscuits and gravy. And
sounds great.
Ooh, smoked meats.
We had smoked.
I've been dabbling with barbecue the last couple of years and making my own smoked meats on my Weber kettle.
All right. Well, let's.
But before we go on too much further with the personal chit chat. That's what we've been doing, kids. Glad that you could listen into our little conversation. At any rate, for our first topic, honestly, I didn't have anything really set in stone. I mean, we could talk about the election, we could talk about this, that, or the other, but had all these ideas. Well, then yesterday I saw this article, and it's a Chicago Tribune article written by John Cass. It's dated January 29th. Oh, excuse me. That's the one problem with doing these things live. If you have to belch, You got to figure out where your mute button is before you do it on the microphone. And unfortunately, nobody heard me do that, so there we go. Anyway, John Cass' column dated January 29th, entitled "Republicans Trip and Liberals Chuckle, but Libertarians Will Laugh Last." And he writes, "The economy is in the tank. Americans are hurting out of work and underemployed. The housing market hasn't recovered, and a weakened President Barack Obama hopes for good news. So why are Democratic operatives and their media cheerleaders laughing? Because the Republican presidential candidates are so darn amusing in the slapstick of this campaign. There's nothing like watching politicians stumbling and bumbling, tripping on all those abandoned and forgotten principles to help you forget that'll be your turn one day. And as Democrats laugh at all the hilarious Republican pratfalls, can they see their own party stubbing its toe a few years from now on their own abandoned ideals, such as the civil liberties that were once so important to so many liberals? Right now, Democrats have the White House, and they aim to stay in power. And many liberals who are concerned about civil liberties are guzzling the Kool-Aid, perhaps as desperately as their conservative counterparts guzzled it when former President George W. Bush was pushing big government conservatism with a straight face. Now the Republicans are presenting a carny show. They've sent in the clowns. Newt Gingrich is the one big government Republican who can really slap down those big government Democrats, and he offers a highly articulate, sweeping, passionate, almost lyrical conservatism. But Newt has a problem. Political Tourette syndrome. He shouts out what America needs. Manned colonies on the moon. As Newt remains the stranger in his strange land, Mitt Romney sees weakness and is ascendant in Florida. But Mitt has his own problems. Let's call them Mitt's funds in the Grand Cayman Islands and Mitt's Swiss bank accounts. If a President Gingrich puts the 51st state on the moon, then the least a President Romney could do is conquer the Cayman Islands. They're only about 480 miles from Miami. There's a lot more cash, there's some good fishing, and they're a lot cheaper to occupy than the moon. At least conservative Rick Santorum seems to believe about half of what he says, which is a marked improvement over the studied sincerity of the other two, but not enough. And libertarian Ron Paul? Well, I don't think we should go to the moon. I think we should... starting again. Well, I don't think we should go to the moon. I think we maybe should send some politicians up there, Paul quipped. Gingrich and Santorum have done their jobs as status quo blocking backs, so Paul will never get the one-on-one confrontation he needed to defeat the corporatist Romney. Still, I think Paul will have a victory, not this year, but long term, and not personally, but through his ideas. You already see it in the energy level of young. They're turned on by libertarian ideas, by smaller government, by less taxes, and they don't want to fight any more wars. Many young people are also quite intrigued by a strange document, one that prompts snickering amongst establishment big government Democrats and big government Republicans. You may have heard about this weird booklet. We call it the Constitution. Things are already changing. Only a few weeks ago, Paul was ridiculed as an isolationist for not wanting America to fight wars. But recently, there has been a subtle but significant shift in establishment rhetoric. The word isolationist has been replaced. The new, almost officially approved term is non-interventionist. That's far less pejorative, and you'll see it used more often, an acknowledgement by the elites that the young people who do most of the fighting and the dying in American wars aren't inherently evil simply because they want to live.
Tell that to Rick Santorum.
That youth vote once belonged to President Obama. Years ago, he was the hope and change from Chicago's City Hall, but that seems like eons ago, back in the days when he cared about civil liberties. When Bush was in the White House, Democrat liberals like Obama shrieked at the loss of civil liberties. Conservatives saw it happening, saw the federal muscle being used on Americans, but they drank the Kool-Aid, convincing themselves that there was some greater good. Now they see their party has lost its way. Back then, the Democrats were out of power. They were loud critics of Bush and anyone who'd deny Americans their rights. These days, Democrats guzzle the Kool-Aid, and Obama uses civil liberties to clean his shoes. Last month, he signed the National Defense Authorization Act, which would allow the military to jail and detain Americans without charges if they're suspected of consorting with terrorists. Think of that. American armed forces arresting and jailing without charges fellow U.S. citizen. To keep his civil liberties cred, Obama insists it won't come to this, but a former law professor should understand that if you give the government power, it will use it. You go down a slippery slope, Liberal Senator Al Franken, D. Minnesota, told The Hill last week, to not give people a hearing, to not give an American citizen the right to have his case heard in court, I think that's one of our basic rights. Once we're starting to get rid of our basic rights, we're in real trouble. But with so many Democrats laughing at the Republican circus and all those glasses of Kool-Aid being raised, who can hear him? And there you go. I'll put a link to this up on our Facebook page. In fact, I will do that right now as we speak.
So, well, you know, Jim,
what say you guys?
Yeah, one comment I want to make is that, you know, you talked about, you know, how a few years ago Obama was the candidate of the youth. And the difference between Obama and Paul is that most of Obama's followers were simply fans of the image of Barack Obama rather than his politics. Whereas, you know, I've met, you know, lots of Ron Paul supporters from all over the country, and they're all fans of his politics.
You know something I've noticed? I've never met a former Ron Paul supporter.
Nor have I. Never.
I've met one. I know one or two of them on my Facebook
page.
I
really like Ron Paul, but, you know, after I found out this, you know, I don't like him anymore. I've never heard anybody.
Nor have I.
I know of at least two or three people that are on my Facebook page that are former Ron Paul supporters. They find some of his stuff problematic with the issue of abortion, and then there's the issue of the newsletters, which, by the way, the author of those newsletters has finally been announced. I don't know if you saw this. It was a Fox and television station, of all people, that found the name of the guy, and I can't remember who
it was. He works for Forbes magazine, if I'm not mistaken. Whoever it was, they said he works for Forbes.
Yes, the guy works for Forbes. I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but Google it real quick.
Yeah, and one thing, you know, I will say about that too, Jim, is that Ron Paul, he actually takes some flack, you know, from both sides of the abortion debate. There's some people who say that he's too, you know, right to life, and there's other people who says that he's not right to life enough. So, you know, but, well, you know, he does take a strict constitutional position, which that it's a state's rights issue under the 10th Amendment.
Well, it's a violent act, and every other violent act is dealt with at the state level. So.
Exactly. That's my position as well, yeah.
You know, so I think the problem that they have with him is that his position not only makes sense, but it can never be twisted to make him a hypocrite.
Exactly,
well,
yeah.
I think when you're talking about the – oh, go ahead.
I think that's the problem that people have with him the most, especially like in his own party, is the fact that you don't really have anything on him. I mean, even if he were a racist, okay, let's say that he is a racist, that he really does have a personal problem with black people, but he wants to end the completely and totally racist – policies in our legal system. Okay, fine then. Since when does the Constitution give you the right to outlaw the way a person thinks? Or to discriminate against a person because of how they... It doesn't. You don't have the right to outlaw stupidity. You
exactly.
Throw an idiot in jail for being an idiot.
Yeah.
It doesn't help. He's still an idiot. Just because he's in jail doesn't make him any less of an idiot. You can't... Short of a Mao Zedong-style re-education, you can't make an idiot not an idiot unless they want to be.
Exactly, but yeah.
You also run, if you run, and this is one thing I don't like about many of these laws that are going toward, what do they call it, like affirmative action and that sort of thing, is that if you tell somebody that they can't say this, that, or the other, or put them in jail for it, it actually makes them more dangerous than if they were allowed to just say what they want to say. Because if you tell them they can't say that, or you can't act like this, then it bottles it up, and they get more angry because they're told they can't do it, and then they feel more the victim card, and they get more angry rather than just let them out there spew their hatred, their stupidity. You know, if somebody is sitting there steaming and stewing about all this stuff, you're better off to let that person speak his mind and leave no doubt that he's an idiot.
Of course. Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree with you more, Jim. I think that, you know, and Harry Brown, you know, he had a great, you know, he was really great at, you know, basically teaching libertarians how to witness to others, you know. You know, one of my favorite examples was that he, you know, said that when people start believing that the solution to some kind of problem is more government, you should start off by saying, do you really want to get fines and imprisonments involved in this?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, do you really want to forcibly take people's money and send them to jail just because they go against what you believe on this? You know, and that's the way he starts off.
Some people, their answer to that question is an absolute 110% yes, though. Like, they literally believe that their views are so correct and they have such a monopoly on the truth that if you are outside of their views, you should not be allowed to be a part of society. You should not be allowed to procreate. You should not be allowed to infect other people with your ideas.
And this is
we really do have people who are like that in this country. I mean, I've met many of them face to face. I know some of them personally. And they feel that it is their they have a requirement to enforce their views on other people,
they believe that they're the morally anointed, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. I personally believe that if you root for the St. Louis Cardinals, you should have your ass locked up in jail, but that's just me.
What about the Reds?
You're a Reds fan, so I would have to say no to that. And actually, Reds fans have actually been pretty cool to us Cubs fans over the years, so there you go.
Hard to be a Cubs fan, it really does.
What's that?
I don't like baseball, personally. It's a boring game. Makes me fall asleep. I spend most of my time with my eyes closed if it's on the television. But I've heard about the Cubs, and I know about their record, and it must be really, really hard to be a Cubs fan.
Oh, it's really hard, especially when you're the only team that hasn't won a championship game in your respective city for the last 30 years when every other team has done the same, so it's kind of hard. But going back to the main topic here, the whole issue is that this article we were talking about, they really nail it. And Ron Paul is the outcast of the whole group, and that's why you're not seeing him get the time. The media, I don't think that there's a concerted effort by the media to shut him up. I think it's more that the media just doesn't know what to do because they've never heard such things before. I think it's
you're very right.
I don't think it's maliciousness. I think it's ignorance.
I don't know about that. I've heard some media people say some pretty derogatory things and purpose, like you can tell that they're trying, especially like the talking heads on AM radio. That, you know, they're supposed to be the ones that stand for American freedom and justice, but their version of the Constitution doesn't allow for libertarian ideas.
Did you hear when Rush Limbaugh basically endorsed Ron Paul's economic plan?
Really? When was this?
This was a couple of months ago.
So did Glenn Beck, but that hasn't stopped either of them from using their shows as a way to constantly berate and discredit him over and over and over again. I mean,
Glenn Beck used to be pretty warm to Ron Paul, and he had him on the show several times.
Changed just a month or so ago.
Really did it? Because he's off the public airwaves now. He's got his own deal where you got to subscribe to his website to see his show now.
Yeah, you have to pay.
Pay to play. That's a term we know well here in Illinois.
Something the author in this article has touched on that I think is really, really interesting. It's something that I've seen, I'm sure you guys have seen too, working in political activism, is that people are abandoning ship as far as the two-party system is concerned. And I mean, they're not just like a few people are getting off at a stop every so. I mean, like, people are literally in droves, like rats when the ship goes down, abandoning ship. They don't want anything to do with the two-party system now. They've finally realized. It's like Obama was what it took for people to see, oh, wait a second. this is all the same. Nothing's changed. Like, we're still... We thought that the Republicans were in power, and that was why we were at war. It's like, well, no, actually, Bill Clinton bombed the hell out of two or three countries when he was in office. So Democrats have been waging war just as much as Republicans have. You just didn't realize it. You weren't paying attention back then, and now you're broke. So you are paying attention. And I see people, like, in my own community, it's split. A large portion are going to the libertarian, anarcho-capitalist, agorist side, and a large portion are going to the Green Party, the, like, super Democrat. Like, the Democrats that we see that are, like, ultra, ultra liberal, that's what these guys are, they want to do. They're like, and they're unabashed, self-avowed socialists. You know, they say that they're socialists. They're proud of it. So we now have this split where we have the two-party system where we have basically the 40 and up crowd and their kids. About, what, 30% of the electorate? That are stuck and they're never going to leave this two-party system. And then everybody else is like going off in this branch to try to find something else because they don't feel represented by the one party that's in D.C. with its Democrat wing or its Republican wing.
And here's the and touching on that, going in the same direction, people are abandoning ship so much that right now I heard a rumor. And I think the rumor just surfaced either today or yesterday that that the Republicans want to win this election so much, and they know that if Ron Paul doesn't endorse anybody in the Republican Party, there is no way that the Republicans will win against Obama. So what the Republicans are floating is potentially offering the vice presidential slot to Rand Paul.
See, I just saw a story today that they were talking about Mitt Romney and Ron Paul joining forces. Like, that they hadn't attacked each other yet during the course of the election cycle. So now some guy is theorizing that because their wives are friends and are friendly with each other while their husbands are on the campaign trail, that there's actually going to be a Romney-Paul ticket, but not the younger Paul, the older Paul, the Paul.
That's a possibility that could happen, but Ron Paul has not said that he would endorse any one of the GOP people that win the election.
Nor has he ruled out a possible run as an independent.
I've heard from him lately.
That's all they want to talk about in the media. Every single time they get him on, there's four questions that they ask, and invariably, when are you going to drop out and become a third-party candidate or something to that effect is always one of the questions. Or will you promise that you won't do it? Or they want him to just say, I'll go away. The media, that's why I say when you're like, oh, I don't know if it's really malicious. I believe it is, because if it weren't malicious, then they wouldn't constantly be trying to push him out of the race and discredit the fact that he's running altogether by repetitively trying to get him to say, oh, I'm going to drop out and run third party, so that he can discredit his Republican presidential campaign completely and they can be done with it and move on to, you know, Newt Romney ripping each other apart and so we can all laugh for a little while.
That is a good point. I hadn't thought about that. I will say, though, when he's been asked the question lately about the third-party run, he's been pretty much at first it sounded like he was like he didn't rule it out, but it sounds like he's pretty much kind of ruling it out now at this point. And to be perfectly honest, I've met unfortunately, Leck hadn't, but when we were asked to speak at the Illinois State Libertarian Party Convention in October, I got a chance to meet several of the candidates, and in fact, the pen that I have here on my desk is from the Carl Pearson for President 2012 campaign. Really, really nice guy with some great ideas. But there's a lot of good people with some good ideas this time around running in the Libertarian Party, unlike last time when we had Wayne Allen Root and Bob Barr. Right now, you got guys like R.J. Harris, R. Lee Wright. Lee Wright is really, really sharp. And then, of course, you got Gary Johnson, who actually did run as a Republican.
Oh, Gary. I met Gary a few times, interviewed him when I worked on Tea Party Patriots Live. Knew in October of 2010 that he was going to run. Phil Russo, who works with 10th Amendment, the National 10th Amendment Center radio show now, he and I were working together on Tea Party Patriots, and we were at the 10th Amendment Summit in Poinciana. And we were just hanging out after the summit, you know, and talking to, like, Michael Bolden and Tom Woods and some of the other guys who were there. And we asked Gary, we were like, look, you know, are you going to run for office or not, you know? And he's like, well, you know, you can't say this on the air, but yes. And I'm like, all right, well, as long as Ron Paul doesn't run, I'll get behind you, you know? You know, I know nobody knows who you are, but if Paul doesn't run, you're my man, so you better get out there and get it done, you know? He's a really nice guy, and he took pictures with me and my family and the kids, and he's a really down-to-earth.
Didn't he climb Mount Everest a couple of times?
He's a bad... I don't know if I can say that out loud. Never mind. So, Roseanne Barr is going to try to run for president.
I heard this.
This whole
I guess this is going to be like when Gary Coleman ran for governor.
Well, no, she's going to seek the nomination for the Green Party.
Oh, okay.
You know what's funny? I just recently picked up the DVD of the last four Nightmare on Elm Street movies, and I was rewatching the movie Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare, and I totally forgot that Roseanne had a cameo in that film.
She did.
Oh. I haven't seen it, so.
See, now I have to go in there because I haven't. I got the DVD set, but I haven't actually watched that one. Now you're going to make me watch it tonight. So
it's about one-third of the way through. Her and Tom Arnold are both in it. They play parents in the town of Springwood, and nobody has kids in the town, and all the parents are insane crazy now. And it's not that good of the... It's one of my least favorite of the Nightmare on Elm Street films, but it actually... I take that back. It is my least favorite of the Nightmare on Elm Street films, and I like the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, but that was just a little side note there.
Yeah, I just saw the story just came through on Yahoo News that Roseanne Barr is running for the Green Party's presidential nomination, and she says this is not a joke. She's seriously running.
I'd love it if, you know, like, let's say the Republicans nominated Romney or Gingrich and then, you know, have a debate between, you know, Obama, Romney or Gingrich, and then Paul and Roseanne. That'd be something to see.
The easiest way to...
Awesome. Could you imagine some of the things she would say on stage to a Newt Gingrich or Obama?
Easiest way to derail her campaign is just play the clip of her singing the national anthem at that Dodgers baseball game a few years back.
Oh my, I was like 10 years old when that happened. I still remember that.
Oh, I do too,
old.
Yeah.
You're making me feel real old. I'm going to be turning 44 30. This year later.
I'm 30.
I'm 41.
Guys.
Oh, man. But
yeah, you know, I remember that national anthem as well. But yeah, I so much want Paul, if he does go third party, I so much want him to get into the debates. You know, probably not. I don't know what the standard is now. I know that back when Buchanan was running, back in 2000, Pat Buchanan, they had a rule that you had to be 15% in the polls, and I doubt Paul would be that high, but, you know.
I think could be that high if he ran third party. He's built up much momentum that I think he could be. And once again, going back to the article, where it's basically saying that Ron Paul will probably not win, you know, probably not win the presidential nomination, and he probably won't ever win anything, but his ideas are going to live on, and they're going to bubble to the top, and that's, you know, that's really the legacy of what Ron Paul is doing right now. And
it is.
It's putting a lot of this into the forefront.
They've left all these people in the race to keep it from being a Paul versus Romney showdown. And I honestly believe that because of what happened with Rick Perry, where he lost badly in New Hampshire and decided, like, or Iowa. And he was like, oh, you know, I've spent all the money. I'm gone into debt. I'm going to go home, you know. And he went home. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh, well, you know, even though I got my backside handed to me and it was a huge embarrassment and I'm in debt now, I'm just going to fight on for another few weeks and see if we can't split the vote in New Hampshire and South Carolina for a little while. Here's and then once that was over with, they were done. Everybody suddenly, after New Hampshire and South Carolina, everybody drops out of the race, and you've got Newt, who's never going to drop out. His ego won't allow him to drop out.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the hell Santorum's even doing in the race. I mean, come on. You've got the name problem. Then he comes up with he tries to do his own money bomb. It's called the Conservatives Unite Money Bomb, CUM, to go along with the last name for your money bomb. Brilliant. And you nobody know, likes him. Like, everybody that I know hates Santorum. They think he's not a conservative. He's got a horrible voting record. He's done everything to make sure people think that he's smarmy and insensitive, and he says some of the most retarded things I've ever heard come out of a human being's mouth.
Hey, don't how insult the retards by referring to him with Santorum in the same sentence.
Okay. I'm sorry. But I don't understand how he's still in the race. Like, where's his money coming from? Like, it's not free. It's not right. Free to run for president. Where is your money coming from that you're allowed to continue to stay in this race? After what you went, you won Iowa. Woohoo! Who cares? You mm-hmm. won. Big deal. Romney has won basically every state since then. You've come in fourth or third or fifth. You're not a viable candidate. Nobody likes you.
You know what's going to be interesting to see is when Virginia comes up, because the only two candidates on the ballot in Virginia are Romney and Ron Paul. Because everyone else was too dumb or too lazy to actually get the signatures required to get on the ballot in Virginia. So it's going to be a two-candidate battle in Virginia, but it'll be interesting to see how that plays out when everybody else has to sit on the sidelines.
Yeah, that'd be great if Paul could, you know, pull that one out.
Neither one of them qualified for delegates in the state of Tennessee either.
And I hear that there's been some problems in Nevada as qualify?
Well. Well, I know Santorum has no solid delegates, you know, like promised delegates, dedicated or whatever it's called, delegates, none. He doesn't have a single one in the entire state of Tennessee. I've seen the list. Him and Bachman way back had neither one of them had any delegates that were promised, like, I will vote for him if I go to Nat, if you send me to the convention. As far as I know, Gingrich hasn't qualified to receive the delegates because of a similar thing to what happened in Virginia. So you have, I think, three states that there's only Romney and Paul that are going to be on the ballot. Gingrich has to win 65% of the delegates in all of the states. Well, he's missing three already. Well, Newt Gingrich can't possibly win. So what is he doing in the race?
Spoiler.
He can't win. It's not possible. And same thing for Santorum. He cannot. It's not a possibility at this point, especially not being on the ballot in three states that have quite a few delegates, actually. So you can't win. It's not a possibility. So why are you continuing to waste money and waste time?
You know, and with that, we are going to have to start wrapping it up here. We're just about at the end of our 45 minutes, if you can believe that. And
time flies when you're having fun.
It certainly does. And I'd like to thank Will Coley for being on the show again. Yes. You're always welcome to come back on, and we're definitely going to have you on again because we're going to run this every show. We're going to try to have a third host because I think the conversations get a little more livelier, a little more interactive. As our listener, since we're doing this live now, first of all, if you are listening to us live, tell us how the audio sounds. Just send us a message off of our Facebook page, and do that. We got the little chat thing there, I guess, and we'll take a look at that and see how it runs. Once again, Will Coley, Muslims for Liberty.
Hey, thanks for having me on again, guys. It's always great.
Yeah, come back anytime.
It's always fun to sit and chew the fat with like-minded individuals.
And hopefully we can
thanks, Chad. It's always great to be
like-minded individuals.
Hopefully we can get a few of these audio problems knocked out. I'm seeing that, or not seeing, but I'm hearing a few on the time here, and I think that's more of an issue with Skype than anything at this point. But there you go, and we will be back in 2 weeks. We're still doing the whole bi-weekly thing over here. We're bi-weekly, and we will see you next week. Once again, from Morris, Illinois, this is Jim Goebel.
From Indianapolis, Indiana, this is Lex Zorn.
And from Tennessee?
From Maryville, Tennessee, this is Will Coley.
We will talk to you all in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.
Peace.
Take care.